Nico, how are you?
What's up, Connor?
Did you see any boys clubs this week?
Wow, right into it.
I was worried that I was going to have to go first, and then I realized I didn't have one, and I was like, you should go.
Okay, well, my boys club for this week, I guess, is... I guess I talked about Temptation Island last week, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the ones I was thinking about for this week was March Madness, because we're about to be done with it, even though it's April now. But
and you did a bracket?
I did a bracket poorly. I'm losing in all my family brackets. My mom loves to tell me that I'm bad at it.
No, that's okay. March Madness is like Big Brother.
Famously, it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. The first week, I'm really invested. And then, like, when I do it, and then it's like the people I like are gone early and I got to go.
One thing I will say about this last couple years that has been an exciting thing in the March Madness universe is that they are doing so much. There's so much more press about the women's basketball games.
Do they have March Madness for them?
Oh yeah. And they always have, but they're like, they've in the past, they've been separate. Like, they've been the men's first and then the women's, but now they do them all at the same time, which I feel like just adds to the buzz.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate that the women are getting like their due finally, and it feels like it's all part of one thing rather than like so
that's
segmented.
Incredible.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
So it's kind of anti-boys club in that way. But
I did March Madness in seventh grade. I was very invested in. I just remember I had Kansas winning it all. I don't know why.
They're pretty good.
I just picked them.
Usually. But yeah, I guess boys club for this week. Yeah, I saw another guy on the subway with golf clubs. That's always interesting. This time it was really late at night. It was like midnight. I was like, bro, where are you going?
I don't know. Sometimes you just need a quick fix. After a long day at the office, you're like,
yeah,
I gotta go hit some balls.
You just need to go beat somebody's car with a bunch of golf clubs. What about you? Anything for this week?
My boys club? It has to be every person at the gym. Did I already talk about fighting with people at the gym?
I mean, we do that a lot.
That's all.
Who
sorry.
Is this week?
Okay.
Who's our victim this week?
I feel like I just fought with a woman at the gym, and then I was like, why are you fighting with women at the gym? Like, you're in this together. Like, mm-hmm. Why are we fighting? But I think I fought with a woman at the gym. I never forget who it was. I don't know. But I saw Betty Gilpin again at the gym, and that's kind of my
whole
thing. Yeah. And then I like kind of spend the whole time around her, but not in a creepy way, just like in a way I'm listening. And
right.
She just like has it. People will pay their trainers to do the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Should I go into that?
Maybe that's a boys club.
They're like showing them a bicep curl. I was like, get on YouTube.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I guess if you have the money, like, why not?
Betty Gilpin has the money.
Yeah. I mean, she's on Broadway. So I feel I don't know. The point of for me, I feel like the benefit of a trainer would be just having somebody that actually keeps you accountable to the workout.
Wait, I'm actually glad that I'm seeing you, because I almost joined this gym that's 200 and I have no money. I actually just realized I saved no money. Is that okay to say? Is that vulnerable? What I gave away was exactly what came in. So it's like, I'm not in debt, but
yeah.
I kind of just lived on what we had this year. Yeah. In a way where it's like, I don't see that around. I don't see that. I don't see the fruits of this labor.
Yeah, well, you're pretty like big about spending, I would say.
Okay, say that. What?
Like random stuff. You buy a lot of random stuff.
What do you mean?
Well, every once in a while, you've got just like a new thing here that's I would call a not a luxury item, but not a necessity.
You're talking about my red light therapy mask.
Well, there's that. There's also the candles. There's a couple. I mean, I guess those keratin things were free.
Because I stole them. Okay, so this was good feedback.
Yeah.
But I almost joined the gym. It was $295 a month, because it was like you work out in a squad where you work out the same two times and you have a trainer and it's like 10 of you and you're a squad. And then it's like, wait, what am I looking for? What am I missing? What am I this really about?
I thought like it was supposed to be more expensive the more like one-on-one it was.
Okay, but
you know?
Yeah, but this would be every $295 a month, two times a week, and there's like 10 of you and they're your new friends. But I don't know, there was one day where I was like, this could be who I am. I was like very energized and I was going through their Instagram looking at all their like client features and I was like, this girl, Mallorca, like she could be my new friend. Like this
wow.
is, these are my people. They go to brunch together, they get coffee together. I don't know. It's called New York Athletic Clubs.
Okay. Well, I mean, running clubs are free, I think.
Yeah, and they have a running club involved with it. That's true. I know there's also this running club I might join every week called Brooklyn Running Club or something like that. And they like run by the...
Aptly named. Yeah, I don't know. The running clubs are going to come back out now that it's spring, and I don't know. There's just too many.
I think I'm just going to start a group chat with people I already know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think when in doubt, just start a group chat with the people that you already know.
Just start running and see who follows you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Should we do it?
Yeah.
Boys, we have an incredible guest this week. You may know her from her very popular podcast, We Met at Acme. She's a dating expert, and she's here to talk to us today. Boys, please welcome Lindsay Metzler.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. Hi. Thank you for being here with
I
us.
I have so many thoughts on what you guys were just talking about, honestly. A trainer is the biggest waste of money ever.
Right?
It's crazy.
They really do teach you nothing.
I feel like if you have just like one good friend who you could go to the gym with to like keep you accountable, that's doing all the work of a trainer.
No, what you need to do is you need to do a workout class. Then you're paying a ridiculous amount of money so that if you don't show up, like, that's, you will. You know what I'm saying? You will.
Yeah.
But if you pay a trainer, then you could get them to not charge you for that session that you don't show up at because it's a person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The class gives no fucks about your schedule.
Right. True. Wait, do you go to classes?
I do. I go to classes.
What classes do you go to?
I do a lot of Pilates.
Totally.
And I do berries.
Oh, wait, what days?
Tuesdays and either Thursdays or Fridays.
You're a leg day. You like leg day.
I need a butt. You know, I'm working on it.
Is that what the, is berries broken up by like the different?
Yes, exactly. Mondays is like arms and back or something.
Yeah.
Tuesdays is ass and lower body.
Gotcha.
Wednesdays is like arms. You get the gist.
And every day is in the dark.
Women are only working their legs because every celebrity, Betty Gilpin, Padma Lakshmi that I've seen at the gym, they're only doing legs and then walking on a treadmill on an incline. I saw a straight man doing 30, 12, 3 the other day. I think that's
good
beautiful.
For him. Oh, I thought it was 12, 30, 12 or something.
Did you say
a divergent? I think I did a divergent.
No, I don't know what it is
no,
either.
You're right.
Honestly, 30, I've never 12, done it.
Jack,
I don't
producer?
Run.
Jack?
Wait, so it's 30 minutes of...
It's 30 minutes.
12, yeah, 12, 3, 30. So 12,
yes.
Then I don't
you're on an
know.
Incline.
I'm not into it.
3 miles an hour, 30 minutes. And it's like,
so
that's
it's a 12
a man.
Incline,
yes.
3 miles an hour for 30 minutes.
That's a man with who has dreams, but also bad joints. And like, that's, there's something relatable about that.
Mm. Well, I mean, I love that these girls are out here telling their boyfriends how to get a good ass.
Yeah, that's
get on
true.
That 12, 3, 30.
Yeah, guys need a good ass too. I feel like only, like, gay guys are the only guys that care about their ass.
Yeah, it's a weird thing for like a lot of straight dudes don't, they skip leg day a lot and they don't really care.
My husband has never seen a leg day before in his life.
Yeah.
But he lifts his upper body.
Yes. His legs are toothpicks.
Like, you know what it is?
So
though part of it, I think, like, so to your point that you say you don't see a lot of women doing
upper
body, but obviously many women probably want toned arms or whatever.
Yeah.
But I would say generally speaking, like at least in my experience, I'm trans, so I like in my older body, like it was so hard to do push-ups or anything versus now it's a lot easier. So I wonder if like guys are just drawn to, because it's so much easier now to like bench press, like this is just like where men build muscle, so I feel like they're just like drawn to that. It's also the vanity muscles for guys, you know.
No, it's all about vanity.
Yeah,
I think it really is. But I actually have I've seen more women be into upper too.
I feel like it's getting, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I
lifting
like,
is
it's
hot.
It's coming in. Yeah. Well, people now know that it's like good for your joints and stuff. I mean, there's new wellness information every fucking day.
Every day. Maha.
I fear the treadmill. The treadmill really freaks me out. But I respect you for, I'm trying to get back into it.
No, I didn't tell you. I don't run at all. At
you do double floor.
I do double floor.
Oh, wait, you're a scary type of person. Double floor leg days. That's scary.
I am not okay by
that. Are you like Jello walking out of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 No. Sometimes I just take the whole week off after.
No,
that's
totally.
Really tough.
It's crazy.
There's kind of nothing like that feeling though when you like almost can't walk because your legs are so gelatin.
No,
I know.
Yeah.
I'm really into my leg split is I do Bulgarian split squats, and I always try to do one where I'm bending my knees to 90, and then one where I'm hinging from my hips, and then one where I'm a glute drive, like a push up. Probably what they do at Barry's as well in different ways.
So you have your own routine. You don't need anyone. You just need two weights and your floor.
No, yeah. You're right. That's why I was like, why are we spending $300 to build community? Get online. Like, there's got to be an easier way.
You have plenty of friends.
Just do a podcast meetup and you'll find your community.
Exactly.
Cool. And then have you ever heard of a run club? And in terms of like running, because now people use run clubs for
I don't run.
She doesn't run.
I don't run.
Yeah.
But I do. But I did do a walking like mixer thing.
Yeah.
I've done a few of those.
To meet people.
For other people to meet people, yeah.
Gotcha.
Did you lead it or
like
did
a
you...
walk club? I led it, yeah, and
that's
I walked.
That's cool.
You know what I thought was a really cool? Our friend MC, who's a comedian, had this. Her brother during COVID, like, organized this like walking group for his building in his neighborhood to get a lot of like the elderly folks out of the house and like walking.
Mm.
And they created this thing. Like, I don't know if it's still going on, but they were like doing these like weekly walks with like a lot of like elderly people in their neighborhood and stuff. And they were like, oh, it like completely changed the dynamic of the community. Everybody was so much closer after that because they had done that through COVID. So I feel like there is a world where like we evolve from like run clubs to just like like walking hangs. That feels more my pace.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't want to be like,
people are tired.
What do you do for work? Like that's too much.
People are tired.
Also, I just think running in New York, there's too much going on. There's too much stimulus. Mm-hmm. There's too many things coming at you. Well, and it's a lot.
I told you about the time I was standing on a corner trying to cross the street, and then a run club came by, and they were just like, it was like a stream of people, endless. I had to wait for like three lights to cross the road because they were just like going. It was endless. I was like, this has to stop.
No,
you need
too
to
much.
Push through. This is like when I ran the Chicago Marathon for a second. I crossed the line. I crossed the picket.
There you go.
You
that counts.
I know.
That counts.
Like, this is as close as I will ever be to running this.
Yeah. Well, okay, what was our other one? Oh, we were talking about March Madness. Do you care at all about basketball?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah.
That's no, probably good.
Not even going to pretend.
Yeah.
This is seldom a sports podcast, but when we are, we are.
Yeah. Well,
we dabble
every once in a while.
Well, yeah. I am like interested in what everyone's doing with right. their, what is it called?
Their March Madness brackets.
Their brackets.
Yeah.
There's a name for like spring.
Bracketology.
No, like spring picking or something. What is it called?
That's how little of a sports podcast
I've been out of it
are.
For too long. I literally did it 1 year in
it's
seventh
like,
grade.
It's like the name for it. That when people, like what, the general name for it.
Gambling.
It's like when you get a group of guys together and they like do bets on like
draft
people. Yes.
Oh, I did. Yes. I did. Yeah. It was within me the whole time.
Draft.
Yeah, drafts. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always do it with my family. We just do like a bracket challenge every year. And every year I suck so bad. I'm always the worst one.
It's crazy because they are ranked. So it's.
But it doesn't matter because there's always upsets. It's impossible.
No, it's random.
It's
you
impossible.
Choose a person, right?
You choose.
You're putting a team together.
Okay, so
that's
fantasy football.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yep.
Yes,
see, guys, this is how much I know about March Madness.
You won fantasy football one time.
In 2007, I won fantasy football, and people thought that I was playing dumb. People are my grandfather. He said, it's so funny that you pretend not to know anything, and then he died. And so that's
aww.
It. But wow. I really didn't. It's like, what would
he
I know?
He died really thinking
he really
quite
had,
highly of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he had faith. Yeah.
No, he did believe in me. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's funny because like on that one, the players are also ranked. And mm-hmm. I think I just kind of picked the ones that were ranked highly. Or
right.
if they were dating like a celebrity like that, I would then enter my sphere of like consciousness. So I like would probably pick people like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I would do too.
Like
yeah.
right now, mm-hmm. I would pick Travis Kelce, but that's
yeah,
the only one
for
I would
sure.
know.
Yeah, but actually, didn't he just like brutally lose the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they got whooped.
Yeah.
That's tough. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Yeah, his stocks are down. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we get into boys clubs, I would be curious. I was just curious about if you would mind telling us and our listeners about like your pod and how you like got into it and sort of the types of like dating stuff you like to talk about.
Yes. So my podcast is called We Met at Acme and I started it in 2017, which is crazy because that feels like yesterday, but also, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And at the time I had just recently been dumped on my birthday.
No.
It was really, really sad for me. And I realized that I didn't know nearly as much about dating as I thought I did. You know, I was like the person everyone went to in my group of friends for mm-hmm. dating advice, but little did I know, I really knew nothing. I was dating somebody I didn't know was breaking up with me, you know?
Mm.
And it made me be like, okay, we need to talk about this subject more. And at the time, there were really no dating podcasts out there. It was kind of just like Serial and like news shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need something to listen to about dating in New York. And I'm also going to talk about my dating life on the show with friends. And it's going to be this fun thing. And I was super single and I was dating and I was doing that. And I had no idea that people were going to listen. Mm. I was naming names of the people I was dating. Like it was wild.
That's so funny.
And
that's
just
you, Coden.
Super like no filter. And then people started listening and it was really fun. And then it kind of evolved into me talking to therapists and, you know, coaches and celebrities and influencers and all the kinds of people about their dating lives. And you know, that was I guess 7 years ago and now I'm married and have a baby, but like still dating my husband, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really cool way to approach that. Like because I'm in a long-term relationship as well. And like, I feel like that's something I'm starting to realize just like in my adult life, like that there is a constant sort of dating attitude you have to bring to your relationships in that you're just like, you want to, you know, put that kind of energy into your relationship the whole way through and not just be like, well, that's done. I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, because if you don't have that, I don't know, because it's so easy to lose out, especially as you know, you start to like get into your life and you have work and kids and all this other stuff.
You get too comfortable.
Yeah. And to like have that, that's a good way to think about it. Like you're still dating your partner. That's really, I like that. Yeah. That's so cool though. Also, 2017 is like, that's kind of early adapting for podcasting.
It was wild.
Yeah.
It was the network I'm on now actually didn't exist at the time. And I remember they'd reach out to me being like, we're starting this network. It's called Dear Media. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're starting this network for women and podcasting. If you want to join. I was like, sure. Everyone was just like throwing shit against the wall and seeing what happened. And so it was a really cool time to be in podcasting. But it was also a weird time, right?
Yeah.
Because someone would be like, what do you do? I mean, I wasn't full time into it until 2 years, but I'd be like, oh, so and so, and I have a podcast. And they'd be like, what? Like, yeah. What is that? And yeah. Now I'm like, oh, I have a podcast. And they're like, yeah, so yeah.
Do I. Yeah, I'll do yours if you do mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Has a man ever gotten mad about what you said about him on the podcast?
Oh my God. The first episode when I named one of the names, he called me and he pulled an actual Will Smith and he said, keep my name out of your fucking mouth.
Whoa. Oh my
God. And I was so scared and I didn't know how to edit at the time. I had to hire someone to like I was using iMovie I had to hire someone to like get his name out. It was like a whole thing.
That's so funny.
That's really dramatic.
It was so dramatic. But I also get
it's like maybe like, don't do something that's worth dropping names about.
Well, to be honest, I was being a bitch. I was being a bitch. I was making fun of him because we had smoked weed and he acted weird after.
Yeah. Well, don't act weird after you get high.
You should be like, bro, people are doing way worse.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Like, that's not even close to a Me Too. So.
Yeah, literally.
Fine, dude. People, we get this with comedy. Sometimes people are either want you to write jokes about them or like don't want you to write jokes about them. And it's never the people that are like interesting that like want you to write jokes about
them. Oh my God, never. Yeah. And I'm sure you get this now. Like when I would go on dates, people would be like, don't talk about this on your podcast. And I'd be like, bro, you are the most boring person I've ever met. Like it's never an interesting person that says that.
I know. No, totally. It's like you're not making the cut.
No, thanks. Not even close. Yeah.
You also, not to be all Taylor Swiftian, you own what happens to you. And like you get to do whatever you want
it's
with that
true.
Information.
It's true. I love that. And I'm a Swiftie, so
wait, me too. You're on the right podcast.
Well, that is a club I'm in.
What's your favorite? Have you had it? Not favorite. What's one you
Red.
Like?
And cool. No, actually sorry, I lied. Speak Now. Is that the name of it?
Speak Now is one of the purple dress.
Yeah, Speak Now.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing
that
one.
Yeah.
That was like, we were going through the same thing at the same time. And we're the same age. Yeah. How old are you guys?
I'm 27.
Okay. 30. Okay, so you're infants, but Taylor and I were the same. I mean, our souls were like so connected. Like we had the same boyfriend who like broke up with us at the same time, who did the same thing to us, you know? Like it was different for me.
She's got great, that album too, like has such a good, I don't know. I feel like she's got some really like Enchanted is one of my faves.
It's beautiful. My God.
It's such a good song.
And I love that song, but I was very sad. I don't know if you went to Eras or like watched it on TikTok, but.
We saw the movie in theaters.
There you go. But she only did Enchanted from that album. No. It was the biggest letdown.
I had the same reaction because I was in a Speak Now. I was lifting on to Speak Now. I was lifting to Enchanted and what's the other one on that?
I love that you were lifting to Enchanted. That's like sparks fly. You would never know. Like
this
if you're at the gym,
night,
like this is
sparkling. Yeah. Anyway, but I was like, so then we went to see the movie. I was so bummed that she didn't have because I was so in that like mode. But,
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I guess you
got to
make concessions
for the,
somewhere.
The mass, the masses, the shake
but, like,
it off.
We don't need the like ever more folklore.
Yeah.
See,
I agree.
I love those ones and I think it's
but for the concert I want
to say if you're, the more emo you are the more you love
yeah
this is like I'm at the gym I'm at the gym listening to like the Tortured Poets Department but the podcast version because it's like live from the Eras tour. Did you see it with the tour? No, you probably saw it before.
No, I saw both. I went twice. I'm psychotic.
Where'd you go the second time?
The second time you're going to laugh. I went to Indianapolis.
Oh cool.
Nice. Was it at Lucas Oil Stadium?
Yes, her last US tour.
What were the songs? The surprise.
Oh my God, what were they? Oh my God, it was a mashup.
Yeah, she kept doing mashups.
Yeah, she kept doing, and I don't love a mashup, but it was a good mashup. I feel like it was like one of the new songs. Oh, I don't even remember now. I'm a horrible Swiftie. But I posted it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we went on TikTok, we could probably figure it out
now. Oh, it was Cornelia.
Oh, cool.
Cornelia Street mashed with like one of the American songs. You know what I'm saying? Like a like not like the Dynasty one, but another one similar. Like the Great War. The Great War.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crimson Clover. Yeah, of course. Wow. It was the Great War. So much. I always am kind of surprised at how much I continue to love her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's got such a massive body of work. Like you could never, you could just continue to find new things you like.
Yes,
agreed.
She knows how to reinvent. She's like the queen
of
reinvention.
She really does. But I do feel like, I don't know, I need more again. Like I'm ready for more. I'm ready for like another hit, you know?
Yeah.
Like a physically.
Yeah.
I wonder if she'll, I mean, has she put out singles for the last albums?
Less than, I guess, do we not live in a world of singles?
Was there mid
singles? Are not a thing anymore, I feel
really?
Like.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah.
Fortnite was a single. No, I don't think that's even true.
No, it was.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Was Midnight a single?
Annie Hero.
Anti-Hero was a heel. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a big.
I really liked that
one.
Album.
Yeah, I loved it.
I liked it too.
Yeah, because I remember people feeling kind of meh about it, but I listened to it on a car ride and I really enjoyed it.
Well, she's a grower, not a shower with every album, I feel.
Yeah,
from
that's
now,
so true.
Like, not the old ones, but the new ones.
I feel that way about any artist who is super lyrically strong, like mm-hmm. she is, where like the, because on the first listen, I'm just doing
like,
the bop,
oh,
I'm just whatever.
Right,
but
fine.
Then as I'm like actually hearing what she's saying,
most
and other artists
listen,
like that.
You're like, this is a brilliant masterpiece.
It's
yeah.
like, and then now I'm listening to it, knowing the words and feeling the feelings, and I'm like, oh, now I get why this song is impactful.
Yeah. I actually, after the show, the first concert, the first Eras that I went to, I had another moment with Reputation, which I'm very excited for her to redo. Mm-hmm. And I was obsessed with Don't Blame Me, and I would listen to it on repeat. It was like I rediscovered it, and those are always nice moments to have. You know?
I want her to do a Taylor's version of Reputation. That's the only one left.
She's going to. Yeah,
that
she's
and
going
debut. Because she has to get back her reputation and her name.
Before
I hate
she
that
can do the debut.
I'm too online. Yeah. All she has left is her reputation and her name. That's all any of us really have.
Okay. That's what people are saying online.
Yes. It's a reputation.
Because the first one is Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one, it's crazy to go back and like, I guess only recently I like went back and looked at that album and was like, holy shit, there were so many hits on her debut album.
This is the one where she sings about like Kenny Chesney or something.
Tim McGraw.
Should have said no.
Wasn't it
Our Song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember being in the car in like fifth grade and like jamming to that song.
Big time. I remember doing, oh no, Our Age Is Gonna Come Out. I remember being in eighth grade at that
you
same
just
time.
Said it.
I know, like 10 seconds ago.
Eighth grade at yearbook, where I had a girlfriend, and my girlfriend was the co-editor of the yearbook. But our big dispute was whether the theme should be Luau or School of Rock. And then we had
our
a vote.
Our big dispute was that and our sexualities.
Sexualities never came up, but she wanted it to be School of Rock. And I was like, no, I want the theme to be Luau. And then we had a whole vote, and School of Rock won by like one vote. And
well,
then
Luau
it was like,
is a tough theme to like be consistent with, you know?
It was just like, what is kind of like when you think about like joining a run club, it's like, what are you really looking for? Yeah. Like, why does this need to be Luau? Yeah. Like, it's a little first thought.
Yeah.
School of Rock was more interesting.
And
everyone else was correct.
I didn't realize that the yearbooks were being like that themed.
I thought
the kind of theme of the yearbook was this year.
Like yeah, no, I agree. Mine was not that theme.
I feel like the theme mostly extended to like the cover of like what one arty kid in the eighth grade would draw, and it would just be like a picture of like drums, and it was like that was the yearbook.
100%.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's funny to go back and look at your old school yearbooks and be like, where are all these people? Then you go on LinkedIn and you're like, oh, they're all here and they're all in banking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of it.
Yeah. It's true.
Okay. I had a quick question about, I guess I'd be curious in your expert opinion on this, because we've talked about this before about like what makes dating in New York so much harder, it seems, or different than like other places. And one of my theories on it is because it's such a big city and there's so many options out there, I feel like people get almost like a weird buyer's remorse quickly sort of thing where they're like, but there's so much else out here. Like, and there's so, and like the, I don't know. I feel like so much of our lives in New York are like kind of at a stage where we're not settling down and we're moving. And I wonder if people take that energy into their dating too.
Definitely a little bit. I also think that we are younger in New York than we are if we lived in like Arkansas now.
Mm-hmm.
And so people really take that seriously. They're like, oh, I'm 30 in New York. I'm 25 anywhere. Or no, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The other
way
around. I'm 25 in New York. And so people really feel that way too. And I think also in New York, there's pressure to be someone and make it more than anywhere else.
Totally.
And so that can be prioritized more than romantic love.
That's interesting.
Like men or women.
Yeah. Cause so my younger sister is straight and she is 20. She's turning 25. Mm. And she like is my window into dating in the city. Cause like I have a long-term girlfriend and obviously like I'm not straight dating.
You're
so
like, and you're gay.
And then your dating world is, well, I feel like gay dating is so much different than straight dating.
Yeah.
It's like
a whole thing.
It has its own whole different set of rules and stuff. Mm. But with her, I don't know. It just seems like she's like not in a good way. I'm like happy for her because she's just she's very excited about her career and like finding her friends and like making a community here. And like, I think dating's like kind of the last thing on her mind.
Well, that's where she should be at 25.
Totally.
Like, I feel like I at 25 was looking for my husband, which was not a good mentality.
But it's funny because we grew up in Savannah, Georgia. And so many of her friends and classmates, and of course, most of my friends and classmates are married,
right,
and
like
a lot of them
kids.
Have kids. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then for her, like, it's starting to get to that age where all of her friends are getting married too. And it's just such a weird, it's so weird how like that age thing is so true. Like in New York, it's just completely different.
It really is.
Yeah.
But if she moved back, then she would be like an outcast for not being engaged.
Yeah, they'd be like, who is this old wench who's not taking a husband? Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wait, did you do undergrad in the city?
I did not. I did in Boston.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then so you came back. So I guess I was curious about like you, if you grew up in New York. So it's like
I grew up. Yeah. Yeah. In New York.
Yeah.
Wait, so where did you grow up?
Philadelphia.
Okay. I was just in Philly.
Oh, why?
For the first time. Super Bowl weekend, actually.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
We won.
You did it.
We won. Good I have job. A shirt somewhere that my mom stood out a truck to get me and sent it right over. That's yes. So I guess like, so you always, cause we talked about how New York is different, but like, yes. That was like the only dating scene that you ever like had really seen.
Yes. Well, I guess Boston, but that doesn't count because that's college.
College is so, it does not prepare you for what real dating is.
No.
Even in the slightest.
No, it doesn't. I lived in LA for like a hot second, but I was also in college. So, no, I guess I've never really dated anywhere else,
yeah.
But I've spoken to so many people who are all over dating.
Yeah.
And I feel like New York, that's the vibe that like people are putting their career first. There's vibes for different places like SF, for example, and like straight dating. There's just so many guys because of like the tech world.
Yeah, totally.
And like one girl to every 10 guys.
Oh my God.
Which is... like you think good, but not always.
I feel like it probably creates a weird ecosystem among the men. This like yes. heightened competition and
no,
like
definitely.
Strangeness. Yeah.
Definitely. And then LA, I think everyone is so like fluid and arty, you know, like no one takes anything seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like different everywhere.
That's How funny. Do you feel that like, because obviously like we know just from being like in the gay, queer, like Brooklyn scene of like people that like polyamory has become quite big. Does it feel like it's taking hold in like in straight dating as well?
No. And honestly, it's so funny that you bring this up. So for two reasons, one, I had Dan Savage on the podcast and his episode was amazing. He talked he like educated me so much about just that whole world.
Yeah.
And two, I recently did an April Fool's joke to friends, to like my straight girlfriends, that my husband and I were opening up our marriage and you should have seen their faces. Like they were so deeply unwell. I think one of them like shit their pants.
That's so
like,
funny.
It is so not welcome. Yeah. Like they are like, oh my God, if my husband even like looked at someone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so unhealthy.
Is that what the like, is it mostly like, it's like a trust thing that like stands in the way of it?
I think it's just like scared of change, like scared of not being in control, like scared of anything that's not like traditionalist. It's like it's fear based.
Totally. Yeah. I was watching this show on Peacock called Couple to Thruple.
Mm.
Really interesting dating show where they take couples that are sort of exploring that, and then they have all these singles who are looking to be a third in a couple, and then they like sort of like pair up and figure out if it works for them. And then they also have this like, I liked it because there was like an on-site therapist who was like part of the show who like actually talks to them about like what it would really mean to like have a thruple and like what if they're ready for that and
right,
like
right.
So it's not like this, I don't know, because sometimes dating shows you can be like, oh my God, we are psychologically torturing these people. But that one was like a little bit more like whatever, but it was really interesting to like see all these people, their rationales behind it or like what they were looking for. And
how did they do? Like, did anyone make it as a thruple from a couple?
Yeah. One couple left early because they found somebody they liked and they were like, well, we're happy. We're getting out of here.
Oh
my
God. And
they fully left early. And then some of the other ones were like a little, they were sort of coming to the consensus that they didn't like it or like they're glad they tried and then they just
didn't
work.
Was it a mix of straight couples and gay couples?
Yeah. They had one couple that was like both non-binary and one couple that was a gay, like gay cis men. And then they had...
Millennial. That man in the Detroit Millennial
shirt. The guy
who had
a Detroit Millennial shirt
the
on.
The couple that ended up leaving happy, what were they?
They were like LA, like artsy. They came in, a guy and a girl, and then they had another girl who joined them. But they were like very like free spirited, kind of artsy LA people. Like 25.
Was it more her idea or his idea?
I think they both were really into it.
Okay.
But I can't quite recall. But that was like another thing that was interesting.
Right,
like
right.
Which member of the couple like wanted to come and like was the other one like dragged there or like
right,
into it.
Right.
But it's a really interesting show for like taking that sort of new sort of concept that I feel like is like emerging in a lot of dating circles and like putting it to the test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's good. It's worth watching.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. But yeah, I was just curious because I mean, I feel like so many, 90% of the people, not 90%, but I meet a lot of people in our like community who are open or like want to date.
Yeah,
open.
I mean, all my gay friends are open.
Yeah,
not to like
throw
them under the bus.
But that's
but like yeah, and so it's really interesting. I mean, they're open for in a way that works for them, right? It's not like all the same exact situation verbatim, but like. Yeah, they're at least, at the very least, they're all way more open-minded than my straight friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's It always finds, I mean, and in its best form, it seems like it's a really cool thing where people can be that, like, free with themselves, but also, like, communicative with their partner to the point that they could bring in a full other person and, like, survive that.
Yeah.
But I have so many people, I just think, jump into that before they're really ready to communicate properly with a partner on that yeah. front, and it just, like, creates chaos.
No, you have to have a foundation.
Yeah.
You're single?
Yeah.
And how is dating going for you?
How is dating going for me? It's like bad. Like, it's not good or bad. It's like pretty mid. I feel like, I don't know, like I was in like a longer relationship like 2 years ago, and then I've been on like random like little like situationships since. And yeah, your rules are so interesting to me.
The what's interesting?
The rules of yours are so interesting to me.
Would you ever be someone's third?
I don't think I would get what I wanted out of that.
What do you want?
Kids. I want, but not now in like 11 years. I think I grew up in a really stable home life and I associate a lot of joy with like a family and couple, like all of that. And I think in that relationship, what I liked the most was like the stability. And like, I think I was always, I was actually surprised by like how content I was with him. Whereas I feel like in a life where I'm always like looking for the next thing, especially like career wise, like always like trying to jump, I felt very centered with him. And then, and it's like, oh, that's what I want. I like that centeredness.
Yeah. Did you say you want kids in 11 years?
Like 11 years.
So like 41?
Yeah, yeah.
You've always thought that that's 41 is the perfect age?
I'm just like 41, like the TV show will be made. Like we'll have, like, have like a couple
you
years off.
You're so lucky that you're a man.
No, it is really nice. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It like makes it a lot. Like, there's no biological thing.
Like imagine if
us.
I was like, yeah, 41. Sounds great.
I know. I the word geriatric pregnancy gets thrown around. With them.
Yeah. Which is so, yeah. No, it's crazy. I would be interested to see if like our bodies will evolve to match where society's going for in terms of like the ideal ages for having a child.
I wish they would,
but I don't. I feel like it would take like I feel like evolution takes too long to like adapt with where we're at socially.
Do you know if you want children?
I would not carry a child, and I don't think I can actually anymore. But I don't think those eggs be working anymore, but I think they're testosterone up. But I'm like open to the idea that I will down the road. I think right now I'm just in a place in my life where like the idea of having a child just stresses me out because I'm like, I can't even like barely afford to take care of myself. Like I can't imagine having a full, but I work with kids. I coach kids soccer. So I do love being around kids. And yeah. I think they're really fun and they bring so much like energy and life and joy in ways that like adults don't. But I don't know. I guess it's maybe when I'm 41, I will also know the answer to that question. But yeah, it's just like, I mean, one of the benefits to being queer is like that I know that there's going to be so much planning that goes into it. It's not going to be like an impromptu thing that just happens. So like, at least I'll know going into it, I'm ready for it.
Right.
A down payment will have to be made. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but I don't know.
We can't whoopsie daisy our way there.
No, we can't.
We have to go see make an appointment.
For better or for worse.
Not cheap.
But you're a good, I've said this before. I think you're a good dater in that you're like good at going on dates.
I know. I think it's the funniest compliment because it's just
but
like
so many people. I mean, you would be the best to answer this, but don't you feel so many people don't even get out of the dating apps or they don't even like make the
You're half more than halfway there.
Yeah,
I'm a bad pursuer, and you talk about pursuer and pursuee in on your podcast.
Yeah,
I'm not a good pursuer.
Well, maybe you want to be pursued. Maybe that's like your role.
I do. Yeah. My whole thing, and I think this part of this is, I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober for like 9 years.
Oh, congratulations!
Write it down.
I know.
Thank you so much. Make sure.
No
my
wonder you got all the lollipops.
Yeah. No, literally. I know. It's like it's you got to make it up somewhere else. Uh-huh. So it's like so. But I've been sober, and I think that I'm very conscious of like giving my control over my emotions to another thing. And I think with dating, like that is the risk that you run oftentimes where it's like, oh, like I become very guarded because it's like, I'm not going to give the keys to like my, which I think I did in the last situation where I was like, oh, like I've given all control over my whole life to this person. I'm like, it felt like a relapse, not in a, to beat myself up kind of way, but like, oh, like this kind of was like a relapse in a sense and that I lost control. And I think that's like a balancing being.
Well, that
sometimes
sounds like it was like a codependent situation. It doesn't have to be.
That has been thrown
the
around.
Right, the right person doesn't make you feel like you can't have a normal day if they're having a bad day. You know what I mean?
I know. You talk because you say butterflies are bad.
Not, no, I actually, I think like uneasy feelings are bad. Like obviously you should really, really love and like this person, but like the right relationship gives you a sense of independence to like go do X, Y, and Z because like they're holding it like You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, things are secure in that area.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you're like, it actually should be better for your emotional temperament than
worse.
Totally.
Yeah. Because you meet some, I mean, not to like overgeneralize, but I feel like this straight women have such a tough go at it with dating, it feels like, because for so many reasons. But I feel like there's so many straight women in my life who I hear talking about these situations that they're in. And it's like, you sound really nervous about whether or not he likes you or whether or not he's going to text you back or this or that. It's like, why are you putting yourself through this?
Right.
Like just, obviously we've all been there, and like you do that for certain people, but like, yeah, it's just like when you're feeling at all that like anxiety about what's going on, it's like, you got like, if it's not like the third day, like you got to jump ship. Like,
exactly. Agreed.
I know. And then you sit back and you're like, this is a man who hates his mother and he's not even nice. What makes him so great? We become obsessed with these people. It's like, what's so like, he's,
yeah.
So it's like, he hates his job. Uh-huh. Like what? It's like, yeah, it's very, yeah. I think there's like an element of, I don't know if there's like a being wanting to be like a people pleasing thing, but like this element of like wanting to be liked at the same time. And then it's like what you want out of the person, but then you also want to be liked. And it's like kind of this like weird hurricane going on.
Yeah, no, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I feel like a lot of people too, like try to, what they are receiving from a person is validation, even if it's not like, and they're misunderstanding that for like a connection where what they're, I don't know. I feel like I've been guilty of this before where I'm like being validated by a relationship or like a person. And like, that's giving me some sort of like self-esteem or whatever it is I'm missing. But then I look up 3 months later and I'm like, oh, I don't think we actually are that compatible. I just have been like intoxicated by the early stages of like whatever oxytocin that I'm feeling and like the sexual chemistry and then whatever validation I'm getting. But like that was completely a stand-in for what I thought was like emotional connection.
Right. Well, that's also why like I have this kind of set of rules, because it's like you have to actually see if you guys are good together, not just like rushing into it, feeling all those things that you feel when you first start dating someone and then getting confused and not actually liking them or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's confusing though, because the chemicals in our brain are so powerful.
They are.
And they are so ready to like, I mean, I've been in like, especially a lot of earlier relationships I was in, I could like feel myself being like physically giddy and like the rose colored glasses. Mm-hmm. Like I could not shake that from myself, even though I knew it was like, yeah, it's just, it's so powerful.
It really is.
Yeah.
No,
I literally think that it was the same as alcoholism. Like it was same
part.
It is.
It's
yeah.
an addiction.
Yeah.
Like love is an addiction. You know, SLA, I think.
Yeah.
SLA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Love addiction. Right, sex and love addiction.
What if I had that one? What if I added to the list?
Added to the list.
I mean, who knows?
That's tough.
It's a good place to meet someone. I'm just
kidding. No, it's true. I think I don't AA all the time. Like, that'd be a great way to go meet a sober man. But like, that's bad. Because like, you're not supposed to date.
They tell you not to date within the program. Yeah.
That's really fucked up for someone to come in there with the wrong intention. That's not right.
You're not here for the right reasons, as they say. You're not here for the right reasons. All right, well, should we get into some boys clubs?
What is a boys club that you are not a part of?
Okay, this is probably a really surface level dumb answer.
That's okay.
But it came to me, and Ivy League schools.
That's a great one.
So you didn't go to Harvard.
I went to BU.
Oh, cool.
I wanted to keep it vague to see if you thought that I did.
Because anytime somebody says, I went to school in Boston. Or
No, what they say is I went to a small school in Cambridge.
Yeah. I know. I was on an elevator one time with a guy who was like, talking about where he was like, oh, I went to this small school in Connecticut. You probably haven't heard of it. And we were like, where? And yeah, it was Yale. And we were like, are you fucking... Why are you
that's crazy. That,
yeah. Idiots. Only idiots.
I love that you're saying this, because also in comedy, we talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Is that there's kind of like a Harvard and NYU. NYU is a comedy... Well, I would say it's a comedy Ivy in that, just in like networking.
Well, what's funny is like, so I worked at a law firm as a paralegal for my first day job. And obviously like it's New York. There's plenty of like people that went to like high powered schools. There was a couple of like Cornell grads and things like that. But until I got into comedy, I have not met so many people who went to Ivy Leagues. Like I know more people that went to Ivy Leagues that are comedians than any other field I've ever
worked in. Why is that?
I don't know.
Connections,
rich people. I mean, so the Harvard Lampoon is like a big
I know about that
thing. So I think that attracted a lot of people. I don't know. I think when you're like a high achiever who like has the money and like has the resources and like you already know that that's something that's out there.
Yeah.
Then like you're
and
drawn
then
to
the
those.
The adverse of that is that they have more pressure. And they feel more stressed because, like, someone they went to school with is now, like, the star of XYZ. Whereas when you're a freaking loser from, like, Elon and Wake Forest, we're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
There's, like, less of a time
Yeah, it's,
crunch.
Like, all of our classmates are like banking and doing things that we don't know how to do.
It's
anyway,
like they got married the next year, bought a house on a hill. Like we're good. Like got married in front of a cross. It's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. But there are, I mean, I feel like in New York, again, because we're around a lot of like high powered people, there's a lot of Ivy League grads who end up here, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I never cared. I could have gotten, like, not to be like, I could have, but I could have gone to Cornell. I got in for like that guaranteed transfer thing. Mm-hmm. And so I could have done that after my freshman year, but I was like, nah, like, I'm good. I'm actually really happy in Boston.
Yeah.
But it, because my husband went to Harvard Business School, it tends to come up a little bit, like just the like college. And I'm like, who cares where anyone went to school?
Do you go to the Harvard Club?
No. Oh my God. Vomit.
We're very fascinated by the Harvard Club.
Vomit. I know. No, I've been before, but I actually went with a girlfriend who went to Harvard because she was like, maybe I can find a guy. and yeah, no, it comes up and I'm like, I don't care. But I'm like, also, do you think I'm dumb? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, I wonder if you think I'm dumb because I went to BU. Because like, I think a lot of my guy friends from BU are dumb. But I don't know, you know? But then you, like, Howard Stern went to BU, whatever.
Yeah. I just think you think about undergrad and you think about where you were at 17, 18 years old. Yeah. It's just like so little reflection.
Yeah, it's
on,
like, congratulations on being a smart child.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't give a fuck.
Like, exactly. Because we talk about Nepo baby all the time. And I'm not to drag these people, but like, we all have different, not we all, because some people literally don't have different like advantages or disadvantages. So it's like, if you went to Harvard, I'm not saying you're a nepo, but you're on the list. Like, you're not the
well,
bottom of the list.
Also, like, good job getting good test scores.
Yeah.
Like, that means nothing. Yeah. You know, like, good job getting A's in school. Did you have a life?
Yeah.
Like, so it's, there's,
I was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I drank Cherry Coke Zero and rum every day at school. Uh-huh. It's amazing I got in anywhere.
Literally. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I have a lot of friends who are very emotionally intelligent and I have a lot of friends who are very book smart and like, they're just not the same. They're just different.
Totally. Totally. I know. It's like somebody who's trying to go to the Harvard Club to find a date. It's like, okay, you're either going to find the heir to an oil fortune or somebody who's just really boring and really smart. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
I hope no one gets
I'll
mad.
I'll take the first one.
Yeah.
My older brother is
and
like
they row
genius.
Or something. Yeah.
That's the hottest thing you can do is row.
Yeah, rower.
Oh, my high school boyfriend was a rower.
That's really hot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like where the Hudson.
Yeah. Well, he got recruited to Trinity for rowing.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah. Anytime someone said they had like grew up rowing, I'm like, what? I just think it's interesting that it's like you're near a body of water.
Yeah. Well, he like, would like go to Maryland. He was very WASPy.
Yeah. Baltimore and Philly are like big rowing towns, mm-hmm. like Irish Catholic rowing money.
I'd be nervous about anybody rowing in the Hudson. I feel like that would.
Yeah, that would not go. Yeah,
you'd like find a body.
The ore would just like disintegrate.
You'd find so many bodies. No. Like each. Like,
that feels like in the beginning of an SVU episode. Like, oh.
Literally, that's how they discover in the beginning. Yeah.
Like, this is
it starts
a
with like
room.
A hot rower, like Callum Turner or something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and then you're sad because you're like, we'd rather stay with this story. The whole I feel like that a lot on SVU. Where it's like,
no,
I'd rather stay at the beginning.
I wanted the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like Marissa Hartsgaard comes out. You're like, all right. Yeah, I know.
We
love her. That's
but my older brother's like a genius. Like, I think I can say this. Like, he got a perfect score on the SAT, the LSAT. He went to Stanford Law. And then,
oh, wow. That's hot.
Genius. Mm-hmm. And then my younger brother is like, really emotionally intelligent and like there's a sweetness to him, mm-hmm. whereas my older brother, like, no offense, I think he knows this, like, he doesn't have that at all. Like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
like different
God doesn't give with both hands,
right? Yeah. Right. I don't think you can have that high of an IQ and also EQ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't think they necessarily
no,
typically
you can't.
Go hand
you
in
can't.
Hand.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of
that's
like
ENFP. INTJ wouldn't be like that.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
If someone comes to me crying, I
I know. See, like, I think that's really. But the N in you, the N is like there's a piece of like you can read things.
And yeah,
like,
yeah. No, I can. But I'm like, I see that you're crying.
Yeah.
And I could analyze it, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. INTJ men are scary. But like they're great. INFJ men are nice because they're similar to INTJ men in the intensity. But then the F makes them like a little softer.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
mm-hmm.
so I is introvert, N is
intuitive.
I don't do well with introverts in general. I feel
I don't. Well, in comedy, there aren't that many of
yeah,
them.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's like ambiverts.
Yeah,
yeah. I would consider myself an ambivert.
Is that
That's both.
Interesting.
Okay, well, this is where I fall. Okay, because, you know, they say, like, extroverts, people that are, like, refill their cup with people. And introvert, whatever. Yeah. If that's whatever. I don't know if that's actually true or not. But I need alone time to, like, reset.
Yeah.
Oh, I do, too, actually.
Yeah.
We're all ambiverts.
Yeah, we're all.
Yeah, we're probably all. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a spectrum, you know.
We're all
you know.
In the spectrum.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love to be around lots of people, but there's nothing like being fucking alone.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I crave it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Cheryl Strayed said in that quote book right there, if you want a microdose inspiration, she says, alone always felt like a place to me. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. That's
gorgeous.
Yeah.
She said from the brain of a heroin addict. Well, former.
Former, yeah.
What did she climb?
She climbed the Pacific Coast Trail.
There we go. Yeah.
Wild by Reese Witherspoon, yeah. Or with Reese Witherspoon, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, wait. So I was going to say something else about Ivy Leagues. I do get, like, I think it also does, like, yeah, there's a part of me that gets, like, yeah, like also triggers something in me that's like, oh, you think I'm dumb. Mm-hmm. Like you must think I'm dumb. Anytime I'm around these Ivy League people, I'm like, I feel like I know it might not be happening, but in my head, I'm like having this like a little bit of some sort of crisis of identity of like, I need you to think I'm smart too.
Right.
But then I usually just take, I don't know.
Like, I feel like if I went to Stanford.
Yeah.
And I, or not Stanford, Stanford. Like, if I went to Brown and I did what I did, like, people would be like, oh, she's, you know. But it's like when you don't go to an Ivy, but you also have a, like, creative kind of, like, off the beaten path career.
Yeah.
Then they're just like, you're just fucking around. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But if you go to an Ivy and you have a podcast, like, it is brilliant.
It helps people make decisions about you so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it does, it's so funny. Anytime, I mean, again, they also made this decision when they were 17, so maybe some of them regret it or whatever, but, like, it's funny to me when people try to be coy about it and try to hide it or try to be like, oh, I'm not gonna say, or, like, I hate when people act like it's a disadvantage. Every time I say Harvard, people are like, when? It's like, oh, and I'm sure you also got every job you ever applied for.
Suck
so, like, I don't care.
I just realized, isn't Brown not an Ivy?
No, Brown's an Ivy.
Oh, okay.
Stanford's not, because it's something about trees.
Stanford's not, because it's not in the Northeast.
Wait, did that confuse you? It always confused me. I was shocked
when I learned
that.
It's just the Northeast, the Ivy
Leagues. That felt Mandela effect to me.
Yeah.
Wait, but Duke?
Duke's not.
Not either.
But it's called, like, an Ivy of the South or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Which also, like, fuck Duke.
Yeah.
Not Elon.
Elon is Elon? The school that exists at Elon, North Carolina.
Elon's like barely holding on. Their acceptance rate was 50% when I was there, and not 76%.
Oh my God.
Get a board together. It's too high. You got to get your applications up.
Yeah.
See, I can solve it over here.
Like, yeah.
No, I think I had a friend who went there.
Who was it?
I have to look it up on Facebook.
Sorority girl, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I was in a frat. It was very Greek. It was, yeah.
He contains multitudes.
I was clearly.
They said we can't have a gay guy, but an alcoholic will take. that'll
very
that'll
fratty.
Us.
Yeah, kind of where we bonded on.
Yeah,
but then I got sober.
Yeah,
I got out.
Got kicked out of the frat because of your sobriety.
Every day I would think about quitting every day, and then I just like never would. I think I'm kind of like that. I'm not good at just like quitting things. I just like stay in it.
Well, at the end of the day, what's did you have a lot of, did you owe them a lot?
No, you're right. It's like your dad's paying your dues, who cares?
But like,
what do you pay them?
Because he wanted me to have male friends. I'm paying my gay son to go hang out with these boys.
That's true. That's true.
That's funny.
That's true. We hate people that went to Ivies. We don't hate them, but we're like, we're cautious.
Yes.
Cautious.
We're ringing the bell. We're ringing the boys club bell. All right. Should we do our next one?
Yes. I want to know, what is a boys club that you are a part of?
Okay, probably cheesy and like not what you were expecting, maybe hoping, but like the mom club.
That's amazing. We haven't had one yet.
I think that's beautiful.
This is our first.
This solid core client who I follow every morning, she posts on her story like her like waking her babies up, and it's like the most calming part of my day.
Yeah,
like it's like a thing that I'm like, oh, I have to go watch her wake her twins up. Yeah, it's just like peaceful.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not peaceful to wake mine up, but it's less about like being in the club of being a mom and more about the community of moms
that
take care of each other is really nice.
Yeah, that's so cool. Great. Have you found that you've like met, like, do you feel like moms who you don't even know are like kind of flock in that way?
No, it's really easy to make mom friends.
Yeah.
Like literally just leave the house either pregnant or with a baby and immediately people talk to you, like other moms, you know?
That's so cool.
Like even just today I was at a diner with a friend earlier and there was a mom and her kid next to us and the kid was crying and like she was like struggling because she forgot a toy and I was like, oh, here, like take my like pill thing.
Yeah.
And we just like started talking. It's just like, you know, you just, it's right. like a
yeah.
intuitive, like, I'm here for you. I don't even know you, but we're all like raising babies.
Yeah,
whatever.
Definitely. I feel like it also called, there's some sort of like instinct, human instinct that we have that like probably harkens back to when like, you know, the It Takes a Village comes from,
yes.
it actually did at one point.
Correct.
Genuinely take a village. And I think that like that instinct comes out to be like, oh, I instinctually want to help you in this situation because I know how shitty that is to be. I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. But it's like before you, because like I remember I was that person who would stare at babies crying on the airplane, like, you shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, it's my problem too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like I'm sorry that you guys are going through this. Like, what can I do? You know,
it's wild how much like our brains require the experience
on
certain
God.
Things to feel the empathy there, because like I'm the same way. Anytime I see kids on the subway, they're like, Jesus Christ, like, you know,
yeah,
like, they won't
like,
shut up or whatever. And then like, but yeah, I'm sure if I had the experience on the other side, I
oh,
would have
you're
so
like
much
lifting
more
the
grace
stroller,
for it. Yeah.
You're like holding her kid for her, you know.
Do you think that's more in New York than, not to make everything New York versus the world, but like I feel like New York, you're so in everyone's, because we talked about this when we went to LA, that like those people, you can just like exist in LA and not see a single person forever. Mm. And you just like in your own little world, whereas in New York you're literally around people all the time.
Yes. Yeah, more in New York. I mean, LA, because of what you just said, is like so depressing to me.
Yeah
you're always around people in the city, especially yeah. if you're someone like the average person who takes the subway and who eats at a busy restaurant and whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like New York, I mean, this is such a, like, at this point, such a cliche thing people say all the time, like, New Yorkers are not nice, but they're kind or whatever. But, like, the number of times I've seen people, like, headphones in, not paying attention, sort of, but then all of a sudden just pick up a baby carrier for somebody, walk down,
exactly.
don't even say bye, like, later.
Exactly.
It's just, like, so
yeah.
like
no,
that
New Yorkers
here.
Are the fucking best.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who says they're not nice is, like, there was a reason we weren't nice to you. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
We like, wanted you to leave.
Yeah, you did something like, wrong.
One time he was in the subway behind a family that was like six across or whatever, taking up so much space. And then just, oh, come on. And I was like, you just made their day that they just got like fucked with by like a gay New Yorker. I feel like
yeah,
that's like, they're going to
yeah.
take that
it's
back
like
to Minnesota.
They're going to tell the story.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's fair. I am kind of like, I'm going to need you to consolidate. I'm mm-hmm. going to need you to, I want everyone to walk their own pace, but if you are able-bodied, you're going to need to consolidate.
So do you feel like with, like in the sort of, I don't know, I feel like these days, and just because I work with kids now, I'm just a little bit aware of like, just like how much more expectation there is on parents and how much more like insight people have to like, you know, sort of all the different things that could go into parenting and the way that they raise kids. Do you feel like there is like a like at the same time that there's all this more like information, is there, does it feel like there's more like mom community out there as well?
Yes, definitely. I actually started a mom WhatsApp group.
Oh, cool.
And it has like almost 2,000 moms in it, and it's really fun.
That's awesome.
And but if I hadn't done that, I do think there's like, there's so many Facebook groups by location and like, you know, I used to live in Madison Square Park and there were like Madison Square Park moms had a group, and you can always find it now more than ever. Whereas when my mom was growing up, you know, or when my mom was a new mom, she had to go to a Mommy and Me class.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there was no meeting anyone.
Yeah.
Do those exist still?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, remember our friend worked at my gym. The baby gym.
My son goes to my gym.
Oh yeah, she would do the little baby flips and stuff.
Yeah.
She was so bummed she had to leave that. It just like didn't work out schedule wise because she's a comedian as well, and it was just like a lot of like running around. But she was like, those babies are so cute.
No, they're so freaking cute.
Yeah, which is like again, like there seems to be so many like it, as everything is like innovating, just in every space possible. But like even with like seems like there's so many more. I can't imagine the difference between raising a child 20, 30, 40 years ago and now, just like the resources and the, it's crazy. I mean, on the other side, I guess there's probably so much information. It's maybe daunting
right.
at times.
Right. It's a blessing and a curse for
sure.
Yeah.
That's so
cool.
That's
true.
Though.
It's like there's TikTok, there's Reddit, there's now there's WhatsApp. There's like, I think I would go crazy.
I'm
so anxious.
No, there's a lot of ways to get shamed or to like to feel like you're doing the wrong thing.
For sure. Yeah. I live by a park, and there's always, when it's nice out, there's always a baby circle with their guardians and one guy in the middle playing the guitar. And I can only imagine how much he charges. And I'm like, how did you swindle all these people into sitting here?
Yeah, I probably know that class.
Listening? Yeah.
That's so
funny.
Really,
I'm like,
that
I'm
a personal trainer.
Literally. Yeah. I'm like, in theory, I'm sure the babies love it, but like, maybe not, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's the real business to go into.
Oh, my God. Is your child too young to be watching Miss Rachel yet?
Oh, no. Miss Rachel came for home from the hospital with us.
Wait, who is that?
Oh, she's like a star among mm-hmm. babies.
Oh.
She's like a YouTube sensation. She actually just did a Netflix deal, and she was a teacher, but now she never needs to work again.
Yeah,
that's
she's
the
like,
dream.
She like fully like made this like YouTube platform that was like, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like it's sort of like a like early childhood sort of educational videos, basically.
Yeah, it's educational. It's like Sesame Street, but one person.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
There she is. There's Miss Rachel.
There she is. Hi, friends.
Oh, that's really cute.
Wait, she's a genius.
Yeah.
That's the genius of our
and,
time.
By the way, craziest plot twist. Guess where she lives?
New York?
On the Upper West Side.
Wow.
Who would have thought? I thought she lived in like Kansas.
Wow. Good for Miss Rachel.
That's such
a genius. She's about to get a one bedroom with that Netflix money. She's
oh my God.
Maybe a two.
Like, maybe a four, honestly.
She makes the videos are targeted at like to show to your kids.
Yeah.
They're interesting.
Yeah.
Way to get into like kind of an underutilized audience.
No,
babies.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's it.
The other thing that was happening for a while in the kids entertainment space was like kids watching other kids play with toys.
What
I don't know
that?
If they still do that. Maybe it was like 5-6 years ago now.
Yeah.
But like there was a while where I remember there being like almost like child reviewers of toys.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
And kids would watch the kids like play with these toys or like it was like such a phenomenon.
Oh.
So strange. I never understood. I was like, they like you know, the wheels on this thing suck, but you know, like what are they gonna say? Like what is the little baby reviewer gonna say about the toy?
So
I feel like I would watch like Liberty Kids. Did you have Liberty Kids?
No.
That was a PBS.
And Wishbone.
Yeah.
Which is like, why is everything about history?
Wait. Yeah.
Do we have one more question?
Yeah, let's do our last one.
What is a boys club that you wish to see in the world?
Okay. A boys club. I think I wrote it down. Hold on. Let's see. A boys club I wish to see. I didn't write it down, so let's just
this
go
is the hardest
off
one.
The cuff. A boys club I wish to see in the world is like going off the parenting stuff, like a connector for people going through infertility and like fertility issues.
Yeah.
Or, you know, someone who is like trying to find a surrogate or things like that. Like there's only like the really expensive agencies or the really expensive like clinics and hospitals, but like to connect the people actually going through the experience, I think would be nice because I feel like it's becoming more and more common that people are struggling to conceive. And I personally did, so I would have benefited from that. I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great one. I think to your point, it's definitely something that's, I think, more on the cultural conversation and also, I think, probably on the rise, unfortunately, like with just the world that microplastics were supposed to or whatever.
Yeah.
But it seems like also it sucks. I know. And obviously for us, like, you know, when we think about what family planning looks like, it does often be like, oh, well, fuck, when I'm a millionaire, I'll think about it. You know? But if there was a better way for people to like, just, I don't know, get to like meet people like, and going outside of a system in a way that would be like more, I don't know, like community based and
yeah.
And
like the Airbnb for fertility.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The Airbnb for fertility. That's what we need. That's our next venture.
Yes,
the three of us.
That's funny.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast and for hanging out with us today. Before we wrap, do you want to just like plug your socials or your pod or anything coming up?
Check me out. We Met at Acme, wherever you listen to podcasts. I have a Substack like everyone else. And we do events in the city, so look out for the next,
like, dating events and stuff.
Yeah,
very cool. Awesome. Yeah, be on the lookout, and we'll be back next week, boys. Bye.